Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Sandy Bob Blog Talk Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from Wisconsin. It is Tuesday, January 29th, 2019, at 12 noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a call-in number for our listening audience. It is 1-563-999-3509. We will be taking calls all during the show today, and we are very happy to welcome back Dr. John Schreindel from Marshfield Acupuncture. He has 20 years' experience in natural and Chinese medicine, and he is here right now to take any questions that you may have. So I would like to open the lines now, and please have your questions ready. And if you are not on speaking at the time, please mute your phone. Okay, thank you. Is anybody on ready to talk?
Well, Val is on
there. Val?
Yes,
is,
hi,
is
Dr.
Val
John.
There?
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me? Hi, Dr.
I
John.
I can, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, thanks for being on. Yeah, I'm interested in acupuncture. I've been taking treatments here in California for about 3 months. I maybe had 12, 15 treatments, and I don't really feel anything, and I read that it's accumulative. So is that what's happening with me? Is it it's gaining some sort of is it some healing going on, or what's going on that I don't feel it?
Okay, I qualify that, let me ask a question without violating privacy too far, or whatever you might be comfortable with. Is your condition a chronic long-term condition, or is it more of an acute recent condition?
It's inflammation. It's more chronic.
Okay. Well, you probably should have noticed something by now. Now, I'm not treating you. I don't see you every week, so this is kind of armchair diagnosing and treating, which is a little dangerous, but most often people will notice stuff prior, but it is cumulative, so it's a bit of both. Now, there are multiple styles of acupuncture, just like there are multiple acupuncturists or like chiropractors, all of us that practice this more natural healthcare, and I have found, even with myself, over the years, I've used probably 10 or 15 different chiropractors for myself, because sometimes I need a certain thing that I know, hey, Dr. Kyle's really good at getting my da-da-da to go, but, oh, Dr. Lori's really, really good if my SI joint is stuck or something to that effect. You know what I mean?
I've heard that, too, from friends, that they've tried different acupuncturists, and they do have a different focus, each one of them, and skill set.
Right, and sometimes,
I imagine.
Yeah, and sometimes, oops, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say that, and sometimes it's just the right fit at the right time. Now, I don't get offended. Unfortunately, where I live now, there aren't a lot of us. But I've lived in bigger markets like the Milwaukee or Chicago metro areas where I had a lot of colleagues who also did acupuncture or chiropractic or some blend thereof. And if somebody wasn't getting the results with me that I'm used to seeing, I had no trouble referring them to somebody else, because ultimately my goal is for people to get better. And I'm not the answer for everybody. And I'm not always the answer for that person at that given time for that given condition, because those things are all in flux, so to speak, because we're never the same person from day to day either. We are, but we're both, but we're not.
Is there something to where I get maybe 10 needles, and I've heard my friends get maybe they've gotten up to 18 or more. Is there something to that, the amount of needles used?
Well, and again, some of that will vary based on the style of acupuncture. For instance, I do a style called Dung Style, which is out there in California, too. Dr. Susan Johnson teaches a lot of seminars in it, and she's in the San Jose kind of area, and she was one of the pioneers in that style in the United States here. And that style uses fewer needles, so I use between 6 and 12 needles on a person. I almost never use more than that. However, traditional Chinese acupuncture could use anywhere from 8 to 20 needles. Some styles are out there that I'm probably not familiar with that may use needles in the low 20s. I think you get above that, it gets a little ridiculous. but I might be wrong. I mean, there could be a style out there that needles very superficially and uses a lot of needles superficially to accomplish a task that, let's say, fewer needles done more to a different depth might accomplish it. So there's a lot of variance. I can't say that it's right or wrong based on needle count, except for when I was teaching students, because when you teach students, if they get a little too crazy with the number of needles with those students, it's usually the case that they haven't narrowed down their diagnosis very well, and they're just using needles based on symptoms and what points cover what symptoms, and that isn't good acupuncture. It's acupuncture, but it's not really good acupuncture, and that's why they're students. They're learning.
And you mentioned the width of the needle. Does that make a difference, or how does that work?
Okay, that can be very different from style to style, too. For instance, Japanese styles, a great many of them use very, very fine needles and very shallow insertions, and they sometimes have rules like never put more than two needles in a meridian and things like that. Now, I use very fine needles as well with the Dung style. Chinese style tends to use a little thicker needles, the traditional Chinese acupuncture. Sports acupuncture uses thicker needles because we want more stimulation. So for our high-level athletes and people that come to see me from far away that have an old sports injury and maybe are professional or semi-professional or even just die-hard weekend warriors, those thicker needles get them better a little quicker. So it's hard to answer a lot of these questions yes or no. They're both yes and no. Sorry.
No, that's good. That gives me a kind of a more overview of what's going on with the treatments and such. So thank you. Thank you, Dr. John.
You're welcome. I hope I was able to help you. So there's a lot out there, and I urge you to talk with your practitioner about what you may be feeling, and maybe with his style you are expecting a little too much too soon. I don't know because I'm not him. But I always encourage patients to keep a very open rapport with me because I can't help you if we don't communicate. It's, you know, it's kind of like trying to have a good relationship on any level. If you don't communicate well, things suffer. And I don't want the patient's health to suffer because they're maybe afraid of offending me or something like that. I always tell them on their first treatment, hey, you won't offend me. And no, I don't know everything. But if I don't have the answer, I have a lot of really smart colleagues too, and I can ask them, if nothing else, so we can find the answer for you.
And you mentioned Dr. Susan. I'm down there in San Jose, California, quite often, and she is still practicing. What's her name again?
Dr. Susan Johnson. I believe it's Johnson. And yes, as far as I know, how often she's in her own clinic because she's busy teaching seminars and stuff too. But as far as I know, she still practices daily as well.
Okay, and her style was what again?
Dung style. It's in Roman letters. It's spelled T as in Tom, U N G, but that T in Chinese is pronounced like a soft D.
Okay. Yeah, I may look her up. Thank you.
She's wonderful. She's one of the people that I think is amazing. So, you know, we all have different levels of, you know, she's one of my acupuncture heroes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Who is on the line who has a question for Dr. Schreindel?
Hello, this is Claudia in Texas.
Well, hello.
It's so nice to meet you, and you have given such a wealth of information. The first time I heard you on Sandy and Bob's show was just, what a wonderful job you're doing, and thank you for all that you do. My question.
Well, thank you for your kind words. That's very nice.
It's nice to know there's somebody out there who understands and can share their knowledge without feeling threatened, you know? First question is, how would I find someone of your caliber in Texas? I'm in Carpenter City, Texas.
Okay. Well, someone of my caliber, you might find someone better than my caliber, you know? It's entirely possible, but I will tell you the number one thing to do is have a licensed, certified practitioner. Now, I don't think there are very many anymore that don't fall into that category, other than maybe some small, lesser-known people in Chinatowns or things like that. But there's a website, and it is the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. That is our federal certification board, and they have a practitioner lookup page.
Oh,
so you can be you can be assured that anyone on their page is a safe, qualified practitioner. And their website is www.NASNANCY.org. I'm going to double check that real quick, but I believe that they just redid their website. They're our federal governing body, but they also do a lot to promote, NCCAOM.org. And on their site, there's a practitioner lookup option under resources. Resources for diplomats, becoming certified. I'm going to see, they changed their website, so I'm trying to find their practitioner lookup, but they usually have one for lay people, so you can find practitioners in your area.
Yeah, no problem. I'll find it.
Yep.
My second question is this. You were speaking just a few minutes ago about chronic conditions.
Yes.
And mine is, I may have, from what I looked up on the internet, interstitial cystitis.
Oh, yes. That's a very chronic, not very fun condition. I will tell you that acupuncture and Chinese herbs work very well for IC. I've got two patients right now that I'm treating for that in some combination. Both of them also have other issues, unfortunately, which complicates it. But it does respond very well to acupuncture. It's one of those things not treated very well by conventional medicine, but does respond amazingly with acupuncture.
Oh, wonderful. That gives me great, great encouragement. The place where our persons I'm staying with are very traditional, and you know, they like Western medicine, and I'm one to try anything that isn't Western medicine, and so trying to find someone who practices my little town is I have to drive to Houston or San Antonio, one of the larger cities.
I'm not sure how close you might have someone to you, but I will tell you, you may not be aware of it. There are 30-some accredited colleges for acupuncture in the United States, and one of them is in Texas.
Oh, wow, wonderful. Thank you. That's marvelous.
So you probably have some amazing practitioners pretty close to you.
Oh, that's such encouraging news. I have one other little question. The thought that I had the IC problem when I got to the hospital, the doctors determined that the Mercer. I got that in the hospital, but it was a condition of and has become chronic because I was diagnosed a year ago, and it's still. I've taken all of their prescribed medicines, and nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. So I figured it's chronic. So now I have wherewithal to get a chance to try something different. And I knew that the Chinese medicine, especially the acupuncture, would help in some way. When you have blood conditions that turn septic and so on and so forth, there's not much that they have in the repertoire except antibiotics, which are the standard ones, and not very helpful. So when you get chronic conditions, you were mentioning about it may take a while. Is that the usual protocol? It takes
for
a while?
For a condition like yours, which is what we would call an internal medicine condition, versus, let's say, musculoskeletal pain and inflammation, those tend to respond a little more quickly. The external stuff does tend to respond a little more quickly than the internal stuff because there's a lot more complicating factors. I'll tell you one of the other things you could look for, and I don't know if there's anyone down there doing it, but intravenous ozone therapy, okay? That is not Chinese medicine, but it's a natural medicine. Lots of naturopaths do it. Chiropractors in some states do it where they're allowed. That is used very well to treat infections in the blood, including things like Lyme disease. They're using it in Africa for antibiotic resistance, Ebola and stuff. So what happens is they take some of your blood out, pump it full of ozone that quickly breaks down into high potency oxygen. So you hyperoxygenate the bloodstream, and that helps your body kill all the garbage. That's a little oversimplification, but you get the point.
Oh, yes. Sandy and Bob very generously sent me a bottle of oxygen drops, and another friend sent me an ozone generator, and I used them in combination to save a toe that was supposed to be amputated because of an infection. And the MRSA and just being in the hospital was a challenge. But now I was hoping the adding the acupuncture would also take it to another level of wellness. And that's what
yes.
I was looking for.
Yes, if you combine the two like that, I think you'll find that your health conditions greatly improve.
Yes, the ozone drops and the ozone generator saved my toe, and I'm so grateful. And but now it's time to work on the problem with the blood. It's really gotten to the point of almost hopelessness. And now talking to you has really given me encouragement. So we'll find somebody here. We'll try the website and see if we can track down a practitioner nearby. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Your state probably also has. Now, in Wisconsin, it's called the Department of Professional Regulation. Some states is Department of Regulation and Licensing, something like that. Medical licenses are actually given by the state, not by the federal government. So your state of Texas will have a licensing board that's in charge of, you know, granting licenses to acupuncturists. That's another place you can look for resources.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claudie and Dr. Schreindel. Who is Kelsey on? Does she have a question?
Hi, Sandy. This is Kelsey. I do have a couple questions.
The first
question I would ask for the doctor would be, what is the type of training and education? How long does that take that you went through, or is there a general idea to become an acupuncturist in practice?
Okay, so we'll start with the minimum. Because it varies. Again, medical licenses are granted from state to state. Each state has different requirements. One of the highest requirements for hours for states is California. Other states have hour requirements up near the 3,000 hour range minimum. So it's a master's in acupuncture or a master's in oriental medicine. Again, it depends on where you go to school. But it is a graduate level degree with, you know, minimum, I think, of 2,700 hours and goes up to around 4,000 plus hours, which is on par with a medical doctor or a chiropractor. And then there are some programs, if you combine that with overseas training and such, you're looking at 5,000-6,000 hours of training before someone is, you know, working out in the public. But that minimum, when I was still teaching, which was a while ago, that minimum, I think, was around 2,800 hours, and it's gone up since then because the profession's grown, and we've grown as a country as well. So it's in the 3,000 to 4,000 hour range now, and you can be sure that anyone who has that kind of training is at the minimum a very safe practitioner. Now, the best practitioners, I've been doing this a while, and I'll tell you that I learned more from my patients and experience and teaching students than I probably learned in school. Not to discount where I went to school and my training. That was great, but it gave me a good foundation to learn more. But having an open mind and listening to my patients and talking with them, listening to students while I'm trying to teach them to learn how to explain it multiple ways so that multiple students can understand it, you just learn an incredible amount of teaching. It's amazing.
That's cool. My other question is, I see children, many times they can see the other dimensions or even people's auras. I know a lot of kids, they'll actually call people colors. They'll say, oh, the purple girl or the blue boy. And I'm just curious if maybe if not in this country, because it sounds like there's a lot of education and training for sure, which makes sense. If maybe in other cultures like China, do the children learn the acupuncture? Because sometimes I know there's some kids, they can even see tumors in adults walking around and they'll point it out. So do you know anything about other cultures teaching children or the children doing acupuncture or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, and I could be wrong, but usually what will happen is somebody with that kind of ability or that innate intuition, they get drawn into a healing field anyways, and they do end up getting educated later in life. But I don't know, because of legal standards in almost any developed country for the practice of any kind of healthcare, I don't believe that there are at least formal cases where that is happening in that way.
Okay. And just personally, have you treated children? And if you have, what have you treated them for? And has that been successful? Is there a combination of chiropractic with it and the Chinese herbs? Or could you talk about the children being treated with acupuncture?
Sure. Children respond amazing to acupuncture. In fact, usually adults retain needles for 20 to 25 minutes. For children, let's say under 12 years old, who don't have a serious health condition, sometimes they don't retain the needles at all. You just put them in and take them out. I've treated a lot of middle school, grade school, and high school athlete children. Now that's a little different because it's sports acupuncture, so they might retain them for a bit. Some of it depends on, just like with adults, depends on the child's energy, depends on the strength of the pathogens or problems they have. But children have lived a shorter life, so in general, if they're born healthy and just develop some things, they're ahead of us in response because their body hasn't been poisoned by 30, 40 years of living, poor dietary choices, things like the rest of us have sometimes made in our past or present or, you know, whatever that may be. They don't have to counteract that. They've got a more pure, strong, growing life force, and that actually helps them respond much more quickly to everything, chiropractic, acupuncture, herbs. A colleague of mine, Dr. Jake Fratkin, who works out in Colorado, who's one of the most, he was one of the first, he's that 60s era kind of brainchild of Chinese medicine that started in America, and he practices out in Colorado, and he does almost extensively family medicine. There are herbal formulas specifically designed for children, for instance, children's ear infections or children's coughs, things like that, so they respond very well.
Wonderful. Do you also treat pregnant women, or how does that work?
Okay, well, with pregnancy, there are certain points we generally don't use, but we can still use acupuncture. I've treated women in the birth process in states that allow it because it can make the birth process easier and actually reduce the pain from the contractions without them having to go get either a spinal done or take some of the IV stuff that, of course, can get transferred to the child. So I've treated a lot of women for pregnancy-associated back pain because it's very common. Acupuncture is very good for that, works great, so does prenatal massage. Treated a lot of women for more complicated pregnancy issues like recurrent miscarriages or treating them for, instead of recurrent miscarriages, it might be somebody who developed gestational diabetes or something along those lines. So you can definitely treat pregnant women. You have to be more careful, of course, just like with regular medicine. You have to be more careful when you're treating pregnant women. But it can be done, and very successfully so.
That's so cool. Thank you for all of your answers.
Oh, you're welcome.
May I ask another question? This is Claudia in Texas.
Sure you can. Go ahead.
Thank you. I also am diabetic, brittle diabetic. So controlling it is some challenge. Is acupuncture good for this?
Yes, probably acupuncture with herbs for that. That's my own personal take on it. Now, there might be people who only do acupuncture who specialize that, and I would not say they're wrong at all. I'm just saying my own personal approach and best success in my practice would be combining herbs and or nutrition with the acupuncture to get the greatest results, because acupuncture is a physical medicine. You know, it works from the outside of the body in. Herbs, nutrition, and things like that are an internal medicine. They work from the inside out. So when you got the two meeting each other in there, you get greater results quicker.
I see. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Our lines
Hi there.
Are open.
Sorry, Sandy. I have a question. As a kid, I did a lot of cycling, and I was involved in a number of crashes, especially in the velodrome. And I have like this, I have some really deep sore knots in the top of my neck. And I've had some chiropractic from a good chiropractor, but didn't really help. And I was wondering if acupuncture could help with something like that.
Yes, and I would usually still see the chiropractor, because here's the reason. A lot of the muscles in your shoulder and neck, they attach along the different bodies of the cervical vertebra. And when those muscles aren't working right, they pull those vertebra out. So it's still important to get them realigned in some way. However, when the pathology or the problem is more of a soft tissue-based, knots in the muscles, adhesions, old injuries, scar tissue, then the acupuncture can get in there and break those things down and get the muscles healthier, so that maybe not right away if you're doing okay structure-wise, but then sometime during the course of the care, if a patient's seeing me that way, we'll get them back to their chiropractor and say, okay, now get another series of adjustments, and you'll find that the adjustments not only hold better now, but the patient actually adopts a more correct postural structure in their cervical spine, because the muscles are healthier, the bones are more in alignment, and overall they're just doing a whole lot better.
Wow, very cool. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
I have a question. Actually, it's from my husband, Bob, and this is Sandy. He wants to know if acupuncture will help a chronic sinus condition along with allergies.
Yes, it will. Now, how far it will help, it, again, so many things with natural medicine have a lot to do with person's environment, the person's health, the person's diet. You know what I'm saying? It's a multifactorial approach. But I've treated a lot of chronic sinusitis, a lot of chronic lifelong allergies, and acupuncture and or herbs and nutrition are very helpful.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm going to have to put them on your schedule. Coming in. Yeah. Okay, our lines are open. Does anybody else have some questions for Dr. Schreindel? Anybody?
Everyone's cold today.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Tim. I'm in Oregon. I'm wondering about your, when you, somebody comes to you and they have their physical problem, ailment or something, do you ever get your any guidance from dreams of how to treat the person?
I personally do not. There may be practitioners out there that do. I know there's a field involved in dream analysis. I'm just not that familiar with it.
Yeah. Another thing I was wondering about is, what do you think happens when a person's body doesn't work anymore?
Okay. Can you be a little more specific? I'm not sure what you're asking there. There's a lot of parts of the body can stop working as well as we age. Our healing decreases in general. I mean, are you talking about what happens on a quantum physics level? What happens on a spiritual level? What happens on a physical medical level? I mean, where would the question that you're asking, which realm are we looking at?
I'm looking at the situation where the body was called dead. What do you think?
Okay, well,
happens?
That is, I'm not schooled in pathology or even the mystic ways of looking at that, so that I don't That's one of those things that I don't have a good answer for. I know I can tell you from a physical and scientific method what that means, but that's what everyone says it means. So that's about the best answer I can give them. So I don't have the skill set that you're looking for an answer for that one for. I apologize.
Does the acupuncture field see any different dimensions for a being?
Again, there might be some splinter. There's a lot of styles of acupuncture, and I certainly don't know them all. So there may be some out there. Again, I'm not familiar with them or what they might be doing in terms of looking at that. Now, I know I have a degree in theoretical physics, and there are definitely the posits of multi-dimensions within that. And acupuncture has some quantum levels to it, just like neurology does. But in terms of an actual, like, education program that deals with that, or a training program that deals with that in any way, I'm not aware of one. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm just not aware of it.
Yeah. I've heard that sometimes with acupuncture, you can open up a person's psychic, whatever you want to call it, self, that they know other people's thoughts and things like that. Have you ever experienced any of that?
I have not, not personally. Now, I have an intuition when it comes to treating patients when they walk into the door. But in terms of what you're asking, it's a little outside my skill set. There are people out there with that skill set. I'm just not one of them. Hello, I can't hear anyone. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. Are you finished, Tim?
Okay.
Yeah,
hello?
I was just thinking about
Yeah, I apologize. The questions you're asking, that's outside my skill and experience. It doesn't mean there aren't good answers for it. I just don't have them.
Do you have
Tim, any others?
I was just wondering. Do you have a main purpose or a goal with your life in this acupuncture field?
Well, my purpose has always really been to help people in any way, and that includes my life that I live outside of the clinic, and of course it includes my clinical life. I really get a lot of enjoyment and fulfillment out of helping people, especially people who aren't getting help with more traditional routes. You know, one of the reasons my practice focuses on pain is it's one of those things that is pervasive and terrible and debilitating. And there aren't very good medical routes for chronic pain and inflammation and conditions like that. And acupuncture, naturopathic medicine, chiropractic, massage, all of these things have some better answers for it to help people live healthier, fuller lives and just really enjoy their life. Even if they still have the problem to some degree, their quality of life improves greatly.
I got a question.
Might be on mute.
Dr. John, this is Bob. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I have a kind of a hypothetical question. What kind of advice would you give to people? You know, there's kind of like an epidemic of drug use, that people take drugs, the rumor is, I don't know that much about it, but the rumor has it that people get addicted on all these different types of drugs because they're in pain, and then they start, you know, they take pain pills, and eventually it leads to a drug addiction. What kind of advice would you have for people like that are on these pain-killing drugs and want to get off of it? What can you do for them?
I would say see a qualified acupuncturist, because state of New Jersey just has that as a opioid addiction in the state of New Jersey is now a qualifying condition for acupuncture, because The acupuncture can not only treat the pain, but help you through the withdrawal process of getting off of those drugs that are potentially destroying your life. And in the long run, they're not helping your pain very much anymore either. If you've been taking them for years, most people will find that now they exist, but their life isn't very full. It isn't very enjoyable, and they still have a fair amount of pain and other health issues because of those long-term use of those medications. And there is a way out. I mean, there's within reason, of course, but I've helped a lot of people within this opioid epidemic that we have countrywide get off of those drugs, do better and function at a higher level in their daily life and not need that kind of medication that does really kill the quality of their life by basically, it creates an addiction.
I just came up with a brilliant idea for you, Dr. John, and that's, you know, there's a lot of, like, even right here in Marathon County and probably in the county you're living at, you know, we're next-door neighbors county-wise. Well, in our area, employers are having a really, really tough time finding qualified employees. I mean, even McDonald's opens it. You know, you go to McDonald's here in Mosinee, nearby where we live, and there's only one person in McDonald's, and 20 minutes later, when you finally get waited on, and you ask them, well, where's all your help? And they said that nobody showed up, and they're having a real problem. When we were over there visiting you yesterday, we stopped by McDonald's, and they didn't even have anybody at the pay window because they were so understaffed, and they can't find people because they can't pass the drug test. And so my thought is,
oh boy, I didn't
know
that
was
part of the problem.
Huh? You know that's part of the problem?
I didn't know that was part of the problem. I know it's very – right now we're in a – the economy is doing well in a lot of areas, so much so that there are more jobs than people, and that creates part of the problem. But, yeah, there's –
Well, that's a big part of it, that they can't pass a drug test. I mean, even Homeland Security at the airport can't find enough people to check people through the baggage areas for the airlines. They just can't find the help because they can't pass the drug test. They have a lot of willing people, but they can't pass the drug test. And so here's my thought was, you know, maybe if you could set up a program, you know, for acupuncturists to treat people, and you could talk to the employers, you could talk to employers about patients that can't pass the drug test to get hired. You could set up a program with the employer where maybe the employer would hire them under the condition that they were being treated by you or another acupuncturist to get over their drug addiction. How's that sound for an idea?
Well, I mean, I'd have to look a little bit more into it because I'm sure there's a hole when you're dealing with that and then potential employers. And the trouble with an employer is if they hire somebody who's known to have a drug issue and that person gets hurt or hurts somebody else, now somebody can sue that employer. You know what I mean? It's unfortunately a very litigious society we live in. But I will tell you this, on that same note, you know, one of the best things acupuncture works for is drug addiction in general. They use it in the prisons a lot for heroin addiction and other things. It works great. In fact, it works better for heroin addiction than it does for nicotine addiction, i.e. smoking. It's just for whatever reason, and there's a separate ear protocol, and some states used to certify practitioners in the National Acupuncture Detoxification Association's protocol, which is basically for detox or, you know, drug relief, or we sometimes use it even with community trauma like, you know, hurricanes and stuff like that because of the way it affects that part of the nervous system. But there used to be an NADA protocol for treating those people. And I don't know if it's still – I know, like, Michigan used to have its own separate – certification for those practitioners. They weren't really doctors of oriental medicine and they weren't full-blown acupuncturists, but they were treated how to do that NADA protocol. And I think that some of those people are also working in, like I said, in the prison systems and stuff where there's a lot of addiction. You could definitely get somebody over their addiction prior to employment, but I don't think that anyone who owns a business would open themselves up to that dangerous, you know. Unfortunately, it's a slippery slope, and if you're a business owner and you hire someone and someone gets hurt, then they all look at you. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess there might be different levels of, there might be the weekend user or whatever, but for whatever, they can't pass their drug test. I don't know if they're, you know, so heavy into drugs that they're ready to shoot people on a street corner to make a purchase or something, but, you know.
Well, and of course, there are so many different levels of severity.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Okay, well, let me ask you another question. I see that medical marijuana is trying to make a big comeback. A bunch of states are trying to pass legislation. What's your thinking or advice on people that would be wanting to take medical marijuana? What do you think of that?
I am open to medical marijuana use, especially in an opioid epidemic. In fact, I think there are some of the states that do allow medical marijuana. Opioid and other addictions is another qualifying factor for some of those things, because if you can get somebody off of high doses of oxycodone or hydrocodone or other morphine, other pain-relieving drugs like Dilaudid, and if they're at least in a transitory way using something else that's milder and easier to break, like a medical marijuana, or even if they need it because their brain chemistry has been changed from too long of using the other stuff, you know, there's definitely a place for it. I don't know. I don't remember how many states allow it now, but medical marijuana is allowed in a lot more of the country now than it is not allowed.
Yeah, it's making a big comeback, I understand. Well, that's very interesting. Well, thank you for your response to that. Anybody else have any questions about this area that I just brought up?
I have a question about the acupuncture, and as an example, if someone has lower back pain and one acupuncturist might put the needles right where that pain is and another acupuncturist might use the feet or the leg or the ears instead of going to the pain point, why might those two acupuncturists do it differently, and how do both ways work, especially if you're doing it not on the actual pain area? Could you possibly answer that?
Okay, that is a wonderful question. I'll tell you this. With the style I do most predominantly, the Dung style, I almost never put a needle in somebody's back for low back pain, and I still get them better all the time. You do not have to put a needle where it hurts. Anyone can just put a needle where it hurts. And I'll point to it, put a needle in it. And, yeah, that has some good local effect. But now, for instance, Chinese acupuncture has a system that employs a lot of local points. With local points are points where the problem is, but still combines it with some distal points, points where the problem isn't. That would be more like a traditional Chinese acupuncture. Now, the Dung style is a system that uses almost exclusively distal points and works very well, uses fewer needles, and gets people better quicker for a lot of things. So neither one of those cases is the acupuncturist wrong. They're just practicing different styles. And it's important that the style works for the patient, and it's important that the style is what the practitioner is good at. You know, I've had people come and substitute at my clinic, well, let's say when I'm gone, and I always tell them, treat the patient how you think they need to be treated. Don't just copy my treatment plan, because you won't get as good a result if you're not me, you know, because I do things my way. It's a little bit different. It's primarily Dung style with a little bit of life experience thrown in. Another person coming to sub on my patients might be more of a traditional Chinese acupuncturist. They might be more of a traditional Japanese acupuncturist. And whatever the case may be, they'll get great results if they practice what they know and are good at. Did that answer your question for you?
Yeah. Thank you, doctor. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's a complicated subject. Sometimes people, and I always tell them, my patients on their first visit, don't be surprised that I don't put a needle where it hurts. Now, there are times that I do, but it's not the primary mode of treatment in Dung style.
Dr. Jen, I have another hypothetical question for you. This might be outside your area of expertise, but, you know, we, as you know, we're involved with Dwayne the Great Writer's new presentation, and one of the things that we have, you know, we're familiar with is all human beings have five bodies, and they have the physical body, the astral body, causal, and so forth, And one of the interesting things that we are very, very much aware of is on the astral body, which is basically your emotional body, there are entities that will, what we call tap line, those that emotional body, and they're actually physical lines that it's like in the movie The Matrix. And what the beings that tap line people's emotional bodies are draining them of energy, and what that leads to is we know that many cancers and diseases are caused by the effects of the tap lines on people's emotional body, and most people can't see it. Now, when Sandy first found out about singing New You that we discussed, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but as soon as Sandy started singing the New You, the real guides removed all the tap lines off her emotional body. And the first night I did it, I had a whole ton of tap lines that were removed off of my emotional body. And so the question is, does acupuncture, as far as you know, does it have connections with the emotional body and these other bodies, or is it strictly primarily focusing only on the physical? Are there different levels that you can focus on or that maybe you're aware of?
Okay. I can answer your question part way because of what I know and what I do. Now, there are different levels. There's quantum energy healing and things like that that I do not do. But they are out there and they work for people. So I'm not going to say anything wrong about them. I just can only talk of my own experience and knowledge. And I'll tell you that there are certain acupuncture points called ghost points. There's certain points that we call spirit points that, you know, in ancient China, like let's say epilepsy was thought to be a spiritual affliction. Even in Christianity, we talk about spiritual disease. So there are multiple cultures and peoples that have arrived at some of these ideas independently. And I think, you know, like, for instance, fibromyalgia, I treat a lot of fibromyalgia. There was almost always a psycho-emotional base to that pain and not just a physical base. And, in fact, part of the brain that processes pain called the cingulate cortex has to do with your emotional attachments to pain, previous pain experiences, things of that nature. So there are definitely multitude levels that can be treated with acupuncture. In terms of going way up to the quantum spiritual level, I'm willing to bet there are styles out there, more shamanistic kind of styles, which is what acupuncture started with in the way, way back in the beginning, that deal with that more. It's just not something I do or know in person. Like, I don't know anyone that practices anything like that with acupuncture. But there might be. And one of my friends might do it and just doesn't talk about it, too. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting because anybody that's listening to this can do the new you sound. And it's here, I'll have Sandy demonstrate it. If she doesn't. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, do the new you.
Okay, it's we sing it, and it's new you. Or any tones that you want to use, you can start on another note. It doesn't matter, but a lot of times when you do this new you, you will get answers about your health in the dreams that you have. There are real guides on the other side. One is Ribisar Tars, another is Paul Twitchell, another is Dwayne Heppner, and they will lead you to a health question that you may have had or are currently seeking an answer to, and a lot of times that is answered in the dreams, or you'll get a symbol during the next day. One of the things when I first got in contact with Dr. Schreindel, I had actually had been to a different acupuncturist in Marshfield, and I was going to call her and make another appointment. And I actually called Dr. Schreindel, and I had asked for the other person, and he says, well, I think you you meant the other clinic. And I said, well, there are no accidents. And henceforth, I've been, he's been treating me for the last two times. And I have set up a whole protocol of appointments. So there are no accidents. And you're led to the right spot at the right time.
Dr. John,
yeah,
in the
I can quote you from last time when you said that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And that's a very old Chinese quote, and that has to do with everything from martial arts to acupuncture to just about anything you can think of, really. When you're at a certain level, you'll find that the people you need in your life to carry you to the next level, if you're open to them, you do end up meeting them.
You know, I think that that is so true, that the people are being guided in their life, and if they would just be open to the guidance is provided if people are aware enough to realize, you know, that the guidance is being given to them, because there's a whole bunch of, you know, real guides out there that that are just dying to just give people help, but they can't give people help unless they're asked. You know, you can't just step into somebody's life and say, this is what you're going to do, you know, this is where you're going to go, and that. Everybody has free will, and the guy, and the even the real guides are not allowed to interfere with somebody's choices. So when those opportunities come up, you know, and it's like your wonderful service, you know. I think people listening to this are going to be guided to you, Dr. John, and they just need to know that, you know, when they get guided to you, that you're going to be very helpful for them. And the reason, one of the reasons I brought up the new you, if people would sing the new, it's a N-U followed by three separate U's, and you sing that. And once the purpose of singing is it connects you to the real guides who have the ability to answer all your questions, and they also can remove your tap lines. And we know that if people will ask the guides to remove their tap lines that are attached to their emotional body, then healing can take place much, much faster than their healing would take place otherwise. So that's the reason I brought that up. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, Dr. John, was I think last time you talked about acupressure points. Now, over the years, I've mm-hmm. run into holistic doctors, and they have a very interesting take on acupressure. They say that anybody that has experienced a severe trauma in their life, what happens is that trauma becomes internalized in different parts of their body and sets up like little knots or whatever inside their body, and maybe blockages or whatever. And the guys who do acupressure have told me that if you find one of those spots in your body and you apply like thumb pressure, you know, and hold like 5 or 10 pounds of pressure on that one spot, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes or however long it takes, the person will re-experience the original trauma that they went through, and as they go through that, relive that trauma, then they can overcome and get healed, and that trauma will be healed. So could you talk to us about that a little bit, and how acupressure and acupuncture work in that respect?
Sure. Now, that's a long subject, but I'll try and be a little bit brief about it. There's a lot of truth to what you said, for sure. Like I was just mentioning, fibromyalgia patients often have physical, emotional, psychological traumas that are part of their overall pattern. And acupuncture can work with you to work through those. I've had people have what we call emotional releases during acupuncture treatments. They'll get it with acupressure treatments too. There's a whole type of cranial sacral therapy called somato-emotional release, which is, I think, the third level of training for cranial sacral from Dr. Upledger. It specifically deals with that. There are other things out there, like there's a system called breath work that deals with that. So there is a lot of truth to that, and there are multitude ways of approaching that and treating it on multiple levels. I will say that a lot of, especially a lot of conditions that are chronic and what we call recalcitrant, things that often seem to be stubborn in response, you will find often deeper underlying problems that are causing them to stay stuck. And if you can figure out what that is, be it emotional, be it spiritual, be it, you know, a past traumatic injury, or a combination of those things, and you can approach that in that manner, you do get people unstuck, and they start to get better.
Well, that's pretty, that sounds like there's a lot more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's complicated. Some of them are physical. You know, there are pressure points that are just physical realities. For instance, a point that's over the acupuncture point, what is it, nomenclature? LI-10, it's on the forearm. It's right over the radial nerve. It's something we use in martial arts to make somebody drop their grip on you. You smash your fist into it, and then they can't hold you anymore because their hand doesn't work. So some pressure points are simply physical, neurological phenomenon in the body. But there are other ones, especially pathological ones, that were developed, like you said, in response to old traumas of any type.
You know, that reminds me, is that where tennis elbow comes from? Is that the same acupressure point where you get tennis elbow from?
tennis elbow is a little bit up from that. That's more LI 11, I believe. And I always remember the points by their Chinese name, not so much the nomenclature. LI 10 is down from that a little bit. But it's in the same area, and there's also a small muscle underneath there and that is activated by that called the pronator teres, which has a lot to do with when you move your wrist in the supination and pronation. And so, yeah, there is a tennis elbow area in there as well. So that's more of the physical part of it.
You wind up treating people for tennis elbow?
Yeah, a lot. And not so much, not even tennis players, although I have a few of those. But, for instance, hairstylists. Using shears all day and combing people's hair up to the shears and making snips and doing what they do. There's a lot of rotation of that wrist. There's a lot of flexion and bending of the elbow. And when you do anything repetitively over and over again physically, it can create something called a repetitive strain injury. Those are super common, and we treat those very well with acupuncture.
I used to have really bad tennis elbow, and I finally figured out how to get rid of it. And the way I got rid of it is I changed my technique. So when I bring the racket back, like on my forehand, I used to open up my wrist, and then when I swing, I'd close my wrist. Now I just leave my racket head face down, bring my hand back, and then come forward, and all my tennis elbow went away. Never had it anymore because I wasn't opening and closing I wasn't twisting my arm in my swing anymore. But okay. I'm sure like hairstylists and all them are always constantly twisting their arm left and right in the motion that they use.
Yep.
You know. Sandy went through a bout of carpal tunnel. Is that a similar type situation when you have carpal tunnel syndrome? You know, where your wrist
is kind of hurt? Yeah, there's a multitude of things that cause carpal tunnel syndrome symptoms. For instance, somebody could have a very forward head posture from working at a computer or poring over books for long hours, and that creates stress on the nerves as they exit the spinal cord and the cervical vertebra region, and that pressure can cause carpal tunnel symptoms. Sometimes somebody has a repetitive strain where they are rotating the wrist a lot or using heavy vibrations like jackhammers and stuff, and that might cause actual inflammation in the carpal tunnel itself, which is another type of condition that causes it. So there are... And it could be a combination. Somebody may do a lot of things with their wrist, like working, like typing on a computer, but they're also doing a lot of things that are bad for their neck, like poor posture while they're working on that computer. So they have both reasons for it.
Well, that's interesting. So if you have your head forward while you're doing all that, that can cause carpal tunnel, and it's not necessarily in
sure.
your hands?
Yes,
well,
it can, because the spinal... Yep, the spinal cord goes up through the spine and it exits at different levels called nerve roots. And that spinal cord is supposed to lie within the spine in the correct spinal posture. So if you change that posture too much, it stresses things. So for an example, think about a very heavy hammer. You're holding it in your hand, but you're holding it exactly up and down. It's real easy to hold that way, right?
Yeah.
Tip that hammerhead forward 10 degrees or like 3 inches. And now feel all that pressure on your wrist from that handle that's getting pulled that way because it's gravity.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and the same thing happens to the nerves in your neck when you move your head forward. That's something that's roughly the weight of a bowling ball pulling on your cervical spine and your nerves. That's a lot of pressure.
So you're saying the cure for that is to be laid back and put your head back, right?
Yeah. Well, that will help, but you got to usually, if you've done it long enough, like me, being a kickboxer and a martial artist for years, plus doing what I do and working on a computer, doing notes and writing textbooks, I've got a complication of it. And the two things I use to correct it are acupuncture and chiropractic.
Hmm. Well, that's very interesting. I have to say I learned something about carpal tunnel. I always thought it was just in the wrist, but I didn't realize that your posture of your head had that much to do with it. That is very interesting.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Carpal tunnel is in the wrist, but the way the nerves work, it's anything downstream. So if you have trouble right at C1 where your spinal, where your brainstem stops and your spinal cord starts, that can cause things in your foot to be a problem because, again, it's downstream on the nervous system.
Well, this has really been wonderful, Dr. John. I'm going to give everybody a chance for a last-minute comment. Anybody else have anything to say before we close today?
Back to what you started, Bob, about the their bodies. I understand that the chi flows not necessarily with the nerves and the blood flow, but there's another, the meridians are more energetic in some sort. So I wonder if they're more related to the energetic body or the astral body. And if you could, you know, tune into that. The needles have anything to do with that, those places in the astral body?
That I'm not sure of. I do know that the acupuncture points lie along the meridians, which do not have physical structures, and that they are energetic in nature. So they're a little bit more in line with the quantum, or what would be called, I guess they would call it the energy part of your body. In terms of, I'm not schooled in the mysticism side of it, the astral bodies and things like that, that people sometimes learn through yoga and other things. It's just not something I do. So can you influence it? I can see where there's potential for that, but I just can't do it in terms of my own experience.
Yeah. Okay, and then another question. I'm always interested in history, so I understand also that originally they were using like sharp bones or sharp stones to instead of needles in the past. And I was just wondering how this all started. I mean, was it Dr. Tung that brought it out, or I'm sure it was earlier, but he was one of the originators of really bringing it out. But how do you see it starting, the whole idea?
They have found Stone Age needles, Bronze Age needles.
We're going to be very, very minuscule, but thank you.
Claudie had a comment. I didn't quite hear that. Claudie, could you say that one more time, please?
Can you come back? Can you talk again sometime? Please, I have more questions. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm certainly open to that. It'll be a little while because I'm actually leaving for El Salvador in a couple of weeks to go down there and help out on a mission trip. But when I get back from that and then catch up at work here from being gone for a week, we can definitely look at that. I'd be more than happy to answer some more questions from people.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, thank you, Claudie. Thank you, Dr. John.
Thank you,
Thank
and
you.
Val, did you have, I'm sorry we kind of interrupted you there, Val. Please continue.
Well, Dr. John was going to get into the history a little bit, the origins of
acupuncture. Yeah, they've found Stone Age needles and Bronze Age needles. Now, that was a lot different. That was more of like fascial pricking and different, you know, so it wasn't quite as refined as current acupuncture is. But you know what? Things probably all go back to massage, because it probably happened when that first caveman got up and banged his head on the cave, and then he rubbed it and it felt better. So, and massage or tui na, as we call it in Chinese medicine, tui na means just push and pull. That's what it translates to. It's probably one of the earliest forms of healthcare out there. And then they probably started learning different herbs and plant stuff that would help them. Native cultures have huge herbal histories, you know, like the Native Americans or the Native Tibetans and stuff. They've always developed plant and animal-based medicine along with some type of physical treatment. And sometimes spiritual treatment, but I just, again, that's not my field that I'm familiar with. But I know it exists.
Yeah, I understand when the Native Americans found one of their buddies next to a plant dead, they figured that was not the plant to eat.
Yeah. Probably a good clue.
say, Val,
yes.
I'm going to have to cut it off here because Dr. John has he's real busy and has a patient here in a couple minutes. So save your questions for next time. We'll definitely have Dr. John on again, and then we can answer some more questions, talk about history and all that. I'd like to give Dr. John, why don't you give us a summary of how people can contact you, and thank you so much for participating on our show today.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. So if you want to contact me and you're in the Wisconsin area and you were looking for acupuncture or even not, I have people coming in all over the country and other parts of the world. My phone number directly is 715-323-0548. I have a Facebook page called Marshfield Acupuncture. I post a lot of research on there about acupuncture and other natural medicine. That's a great resource for a lot of people, and you can be sure that I read the research and looked through it before it's put on there. Because, you know, the Internet is a wonderful thing, but sometimes not everything on there is accurate as well. but so you can reach me directly in those ways. There's a Contact Me button on that Facebook page. I have a website, so if you Google Marshfield Acupuncture, you'll find my website, and there's a Contact Me button on there where you can send me an email as well.
Well, thank you, Dr. John, and thank you, everybody, for participating and asking your questions, and we really look forward to doing this again
the next time.
So I will say goodbye to everybody, and thank you, Dr. John, and we'll see you soon. And have a good trip down to South America.
It'll be fun. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks. See ya.